I have several texts that inform these thoughts this morning. One, the very first verse of the very first book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the story goes on from there as to how that happened. From Isaiah chapter 7, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the story goes on and is picked up in Luke's gospel, where in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And he came to the Virgin Mary and said, "Hail, O favored one! Behold, you will conceive, and you shall call his name Jesus." And when Mary asks, "How's that supposed to happen?" the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So Jesus is born, Jesus lives, Jesus dies, and at the end of the day, they come to the tomb. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went taking spices and were perplexed when they did not find his body. Two men stood by them in dazzling apparel and asked, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" These stories are the benchmarks of our faith. The world was created. The Redeemer was promised. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, died, and was resurrected. There's an interesting movie on the Discovery Channel tonight. I'm going to put a link to the website that describes it and hope you'll watch it. I've got it TiVo'd and will ponder it at length. It's called The Lost Tomb of Jesus. Perhaps you've heard. Archaeologists are revisiting a discovery that occurred some 25 years ago and are claiming that based on the process of archaeological investigation and peer review, that what they have found is a bone box, several actually, that contained the remains, or at one point did contain the remains, of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Jesus' brother, and get ready, Jesus himself. We've got God in a box. We have found the bones, or at least where they were. Which, as you might expect, has generated a lot of conversation on the internet and many other places. A summary of which is a post to the blog from the website, The Lost Tomb of Jesus. Jesus is alive and in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. He did not marry and father children. I do not believe anyone who claims otherwise. I am a Bible-believing Christian. The Bible, King James Authorized Version, is the Word of God, and it's completely true. Well, that would be both ends of the spectrum. And just as the archaeologists have claimed to find God in a box, the fundamentalists have put God into another box. We have on one hand, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my hands in his side, I will not believe." In other words, show me the evidence. And on the other hand, we have, "The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it." My goodness. It's not a new question. This is just the latest chapter in the Scopes monkey trial. The world was created in 7 days. They had 24 hours each. The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, the archaeological evidence, and we haven't collected all of it, but so far, 5 billion at least would be on the short end of how long it continues to take. Born of the Virgin Mary. That's an interesting question. Sort of one for theological debate rather than archaeological investigation or clinical determination, I suppose. My students hate it when I ask them to read an article called "Religion and Child Abuse Perfect Together." Kind of an odd title for a research article. in which the author makes the claim that the doctrine of the virgin birth cleans up the Jesus story, cleans it up from what's most likely the way a child under such circumstances might have been conceived, that being the result of an attack on the young woman by a Roman soldier or some other occupier. And by cleaning it up, we've made it more distant from people whose lives are pretty lousy. It's just an interesting theological claim. My students rise up in holy horror at the thought that the God, who presumably is all-powerful and created the heavens and the earth, by whatever manner you think, could have possibly brought a redeemer out of an unclean birth. Had to be the virgin birth, or there's something wrong with my faith. So also is this story. Jesus died and rose from the dead. His bones can't be found. Well, I was thinking about this a lot. I was thinking that at some point in the future, archaeologists may come upon a tomb that has my name on it. And presumably, if they bothered and were to open whatever container contained whatever's left of me, they might find some bones, which does not negate the principle of our faith that suggests that when our lives end, we are also resurrected to another form of reality. Presumably, they'll find my bones because in the next life, I have no need of them. And a couple of them weren't working all that well anyway, probably. What difference does it make how it happened? And that is, I think, the distinction I would draw, and actually a way to move away from what becomes a divisive and often toxic debate. The question over how long it took to make the earth, whether or not Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, or in this new instance, the lost tomb of Jesus, whether or not his bones were physically resurrected, answer a question that I think has very little to do with faith. They seek to answer the question, what was the process? How did this happen? The best of all scientists, the wisest of all theologians, on whatever side of the question they land, are going to, if they are honest, at the end of the day, say, we still know less than we will. I am a researcher. I've even managed to get a few things published. And at the end of every article that I've ever read or written is a disclaimer of sorts. Well, we've found this, this, and that, but all this does is set up the investigation of new questions. We have not learned all that we will learn. We have not pondered or thought through all that we must, whether our focus is on the faith in the foreground, or our foreground, or our focus is whether the science is in the foreground. The only way to resolve and bring the two sides together is to bring their insights to bear on an entirely different question. Not what was the process, but what was the purpose? And that's the question that the stories in the Bible seek to answer. Metaphorical stories, largely about gardens of Eden and floods. And even a lot of other things that if we were to try to lift them out of the biblical witness and say, this is how we should live, you mean selling our children into slavery? Regarding shellfish as an abomination? So much for the surf and turf. Giving the death penalty to rape victims? Executing rebellious and drunken sons? All of which made some sense in the cultural context out of which it comes. But in order to apply it to the context in which we live today, we have to ask, what was the purpose of that? The purpose of creation was to give us a gift. The purpose of the incarnation was to give us a chance to relate to a God who chose to relate to us. And the purpose of the resurrection was to give us hope by whatever process that occurred. I was really fascinated by the implications of perhaps finding bone fragments of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. We are inches away from being able to clone a human being, and all we need is a little DNA. Wouldn't that be interesting? Once we get the embryo cooking along in a petri dish, which is what you essentially have to do, it's the same technology as in vitro fertilization. Who are we going to get to be the mom? We're going to hold an American Idol type contest as to who's worthy to be the next mother of the second coming of Christ? We're not anywhere close to being able to figure that one out. But is it beyond the realm of possibility to imagine that the second coming of Christ could be the result of scientific exploration and expertise? What if God intends Jesus to return cloned by science? We believe it could well have been God's intent to create the heavens and the earth through an evolving process. We believe in a God of unlimited power and endless possibility, the knowledge of which is only accessible to us in very limited ways. It might be. It could be. What drives our faith is not a rigidity of belief or the result of scientific investigation. What drives our faith is the pursuit of the mystery. The more I learn about the process of creation and redemption and resurrection, the more interested I am in finding out the purpose. The more I find the Bible used as a weapon to say, this frame contains all I need to know, the less inclined I am to find purpose for my life in that level of rigidity. Now, having sort of taken one side over the other, I have to also acknowledge that my greatest level of intolerance is directed toward intolerant religion, for which I have to stand adjudged. And the only way that I can resolve, again, the debate or my place in it, is to rephrase the question. What's the purpose for me? For what purpose was I placed in this portion of God's creation? Why did God have to die for me? Well, there's a pretty long answer to that one, and I can enumerate that with simply a retelling of much of the history of my own life, which I will do to myself. What happens to me when my earthly life is over? I'm not fully sure. So all I can do is try to extract from the majesty of creation and the mystery of theology and the mysteries that remain when the scientists take their next step and try to find God in the midst of it, at the heart of the matter. At the center of my heart is a quest to continue to unravel my place in the mystery. And I think rather than leave here today asking either of those questions, how did it happen, or get stuck on what was the purpose, I think we can focus our energy on one additional question. And the ancient Israelis had it right. Jewish theology suggests that if you want to evaluate your life, your behavior at any given moment, answer this question. To what extent is what's occurring right now in the choices I'm pondering, the decisions I've made, the direction I'm moving, how can this be seen as an act of worship? How can this be seen as an act of devotion to the God who gave me this planet or a place on it, by whatever process that happened, and who I believe did something extraordinary to redeem me for all the things that I've done, left undone, and couldn't prevent? And what is it that pushes me in the hope that one day I will learn what God had in mind, and one day I will discover ways to enhance my own levels of tolerance with people with whom I might spend eternity that I would rather not spend an hour with now? At the heart of my own heart is the God who loves me anyway. and I will seek to answer the question, what is my purpose? I'm going to watch the lost tomb of Jesus tonight. And at the end, I will hear the archaeologists, if not say explicitly, implicitly, we don't know all we'd like, we don't know all we will. And I'll move on and try to be the best engager of the mystery that I know how to be. As we now engage the mystery of how the body and blood of Christ transforms and sustains this group of people that we also call the body of Christ, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we can only stand in awe and give you thanks that you bless us with this life and give us the choice for how we live and how we interact. Strengthen us through the forgiving grace of your Son's body and blood to engage and reflect and care both for and about even those who see things differently than we, with thanks. Amen.